broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, this is the broadcast for December the 7th in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is hour one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the checks and balances built into the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America as our guide. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. There's so much going on. There's so little time to talk about it. And we've got a lot of guests today, which we'll drill into and all that kind of stuff. Let's first talk about yesterday's show. We had on James Edwards with me. He's also known for race, politics, and hypocrisy in the 21st century. ThePoliticalCesspool.org, and we broke down for 2 hours the abuse of government towards we the people. While the government literally arms terrorists around the world, while the government lets the border leak like a sieve, while the government protects inside professional criminals like Joe Biden, that's my opinion to which I'm entitled, Hunter Biden, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, I could just keep going right on down the list, right? While they protect their own, they literally attack all of us. FBI director says that terrorism threats are at an all-time high. Are they talking about Al-Qaeda, which Donald Trump said that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama built? Are they talking about that kind? Are they talking about terrorism like Hamas in Egypt? Are they talking about terrorism like Russia and Ukraine? Are they talking about terrorism like we're in 130-plus nations, militarily speaking, and not about to stop, and that we're all over the planet with war everywhere? We fund and train and arm countries everywhere. Are we talking about that, or are we talking about the Americans who stand up for the Constitution? Are we talking about guilt by association becomes the order of the day? Are they talking about Sam Bushman, James Edwards? Are they talking about good, honest Americans? What are we talking about? Now, the FBI got caught. The FBI reportedly abused its, quote, counterterrorism tools to do what? To go after Catholics and pro-lifers. That's right. The FBI used its tools to go after Catholics and pro-lifers as, quote, potential domestic terrorists. You heard me. That's according to a new report that got released from what's called the House Weaponization Subcommittee, released on Monday. Think about that. So that's why I say, are we talking about these real war issues, these real people that are against America? Are we talking about North Korea? The fact that they launched this capability where they can spy on Americans? Or are we talking about domestic people like Sam and James and you, my fellow Americans? Are we talking about God-fearing, church-going people? What are we talking about? See, in February, the FBI was so clearly wrong on their agenda, their memos, their documentation that they got from the Southern Poverty Law Center, in my humble opinion, a criminal organization that's designed to provoke domestic terrorism, to divide the American people, to foment communism, socialism, and terrorism in this nation. That's an opinion to which I'm entitled, and these clowns literally are in bed with the FBI, the Justice Department, and your local police departments all up and down the line, training cops, infiltrating police offices all over the country, and then claiming that's what we're doing. Well, anyway, in February, the FBI was forced to retract. That's right, to retract an internal memo from the Richmond, Virginia office. They call it the Virginia Field Office, which described traditional Roman Catholics as radical. That's right, and claimed that they, meaning the traditional Roman Catholic, radical, and claimed they are, quote, anti-Semitic, anti-immigrant, anti-LGBTQ+, and white supremacist. Yeah, they're guilty of white supremacist ideology. So see, while your government literally says threats are at an all-time high, they're attacking the government, me and you. That's right. The government's attacking me and you. After facing immense backlash for the attacks on the Catholics, there's what's called a House Weaponization Subcommittee. It conducted an investigation into the memo created by the Southern Poverty Law Center and found that the agency, meaning that's, I don't know if it's the FBI, the Justice Department, or Homeland Security, or if it's the Southern Poverty Law Center. See, they're all starting to be kind of come one and the same. I don't know if after immense backlash, that agency found that, hey, they just singled out people that were religious. All right? The documents received pursuant to the committee's investigation show that the FBI singled out Americans, listen, who are pro-life, pro-family, and support the biological sex reality and gender distinction. So if you believe males are males, females are females, if you believe in God and family, you are considered a domestic terrorist by the Southern Poverty Law Center, the IREHR, a lot of these anti-government, non-government, or NGO groups in bed with government, the FBI, the Justice Department, Homeland Security, the CIA, the Air Marshals, I can keep going, the IRS, all down the list. They're all guilty as charged. You don't believe me? There's court cases literally proving what I'm saying to you. Yeah, we then talked about the countries with the highest and lowest numbers of prisoners per capita. The U.S. tops the list when it comes to the highest number of prisoners with 100,000 inhabitants based on per capita. The United States tops the list of putting people in jail, primarily what for? Drugs. The GOP, or I'm sorry, we also talked about the top 20 countries with the highest and lowest rate overweight or obesity turns out to be, again, the United States of America. Okay, we talked about the fact that, you know what, the average American commits 3 felonies a day and how the feds are targeting the innocent. It's a book on Goodreads. It's a book written by Harvey Silverlake. He's a liberties-based lawyer, and he wrote a book called 3 Felonies a Day. And the title refers to the reality that he believes the average American commits 3 felonies a day because of our out-of-control, archaic laws. Folks, it is a hate scam. They're all in it for the money. They're all in it for power. They want to jail or kill us all. I built 2 websites to discuss these very issues. One of them is called callforcivility.com, and the other one's called Hate Scam, to highlight the lies we're being told. They want you to believe somehow your government is the bad guy. It isn't true. The average American isn't the bad guy. Now, let me very clearly explain. The government is not the bad guy either. All right, you say, what, Sam? I thought you were anti-government. No, I'm not. That's the lie. The mainstream press loves to tell you lies about me and dishonestly represent who I am. The government is not your enemy. Rogue agents within your government are the enemy. All right, let me give you examples. Unconstitutional organizations like the IRS need to be flat out shut down. They're your enemy. Now, don't think I'm attacking government. There's no legitimate constitutional authority for the IRS at all. It's a criminal enterprise, folks. Look at the FBI and the Justice Department. They're not doing their job. The Federal Bureau of Investigation was really designed to prosecute crimes in the very limited scope defined by the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. You know, counterfeiting, foreign affairs, the border. I mean, there's a list of 5 or 6. I don't have the exact number in front of me. Very few things they were supposed to do. And if it was across borders, there was a little bit of legitimacy for the FBI to help kind of support coordination between local law enforcement and across borders, in other words, jurisdictional boundaries. There was some advantage and some value there in the beginning, but it's ran off the rails and it's gone rogue. The problem isn't government or the proper role of government. I support that and believe in that. The problem is when the government goes amok. All right? That's the problem. And that is the issue for sure. Now, there was the fourth debate last night. I want to see if we can get Liz to go to the 6 minute and three mark of the soundbite. So they started the debate. They said, here's the rules. You got 90 seconds to respond. You got 60 seconds if you're referred to respond. We control the rules. You only get your 60 seconds to respond if the moderators say so. It's very unique in terms of its rules. It's supposedly the new media doing this, not just the mainstream press. I don't believe it. It's really the accepted alternative media. Not really real alternative media like me or others. It's the accepted. It's Megyn Kelly. All right, go ahead and skip the break. It's Megyn Kelly. It's the guy that, it's the people that used to be on like CNN and Fox, and, you know, they're with all these groups. They've gone on their own because they got kicked out. So they're more conservative than some, but not really. Yeah, 6 minutes, 3 seconds in. They're conservative to where their paycheck beholds them to. And right now, since they're doing podcasts and they've been kind of relegated to the sidelines, their money comes from the people, so they're more willing to pay attention to the people than they used to be. But instead of just asking the softball questions, they did ask hardball questions, but I believe they were unfair hardball questions. For example, they said to Chris Christie to start the thing out, hey, Chris. No, I'm sorry, not Chris Christie. Ron DeSantis. I'm trying to break this debate down real time because it was long. It was 2 hours long. It was held late last night. I think it started at 7:30 or something like that. It's hard to break it down and get time to work on it unless you work all night, which I wanted to get some sleep. The fourth debate, really? When Donald Trump has such a commanding lead, is it really worth that? Anyway, the bottom line is I broke it down. But they first started out by asking Ron DeSantis. They said, hey, you know what? You had all the money in the world. You were set to be the star of the stage in every way. You were set to win, and you really lost. How come? And Ron basically said that's completely bogus manipulation by the media. The fact is I'm doing really well. I'm the only guy that's really upset the Republicans who lost big. And I was a winner in spite of it all. Look what we've done. That was his answer, which he's right about that. He has done a lot of good compared to most. And it's true the Republicans lost. But when Ron DeSantis failed to defend Vivek Ramaswamy in the third debate, who made that very point, now he's kind of making that point soft pedal without having the guts to back Vivek. Shame on DeSantis. Well, anyway, then, so that was the first attack for 6 minutes. The next attack went to Vivek Ramaswamy. And they said, Vivek, you know what? You on one hand say these people are clowns, they're idiots, they're evil, they're corrupt, they take bad money. But then you also said they're good on the stage, they're nice, good, honest people. Which is it? Here's Vivek's response.
It's for everything. We need somebody in the White House who absolutely is going to be a fighter when it counts. And I did say that there were some good people on that stage in that third debate. Doug Burgum was on that stage at that time. And I'll say that jokingly. Ron DeSantis is a good person, too. I want to go back, though, to Nikki Haley's comment from earlier that she is somehow not responding to the will of these donors. Nikki, you were bankrupt when you left the UN. After you left the UN, you became a military contractor. You actually started joining service on the board of Boeing, whose back you scratched for a very long time, and then gave foreign multinational speeches like Hillary Clinton is, and now you're a multimillionaire. That math does not add up. It adds up to the fact that you are corrupt. And when I said they were bought and paid for, I meant the Republican establishment, not the Democratic establishment. Now you have Reid Hoffman, the person who's effectively George Soros Jr., funding lawsuits across this country against Donald Trump to keep him off the ballot, funding left-wing causes. We discover this week that he is one of Nikki Haley's largest supporters. Larry Fink, the king of the woke industrial complex, the ESG movement, the CEO of BlackRock, the most powerful company in the world, now supporting Nikki Haley. And to say that doesn't affect her is false, because it's after that meeting later that day that she says that every American needs to be doxxed by having their ID, their government-issued ID, tied to what they say on the internet. So I think that this is far more corrupt than I even imagined when I entered politics. But I will say this. It is going to take a leader from the outside, with fresh legs, from the next generation to unite this country. Not the broken politicians who are puppets of the puppet masters, but the actual people in this country. Thomas Jefferson was 33 when he wrote the Declaration of Independence. I think it's going to take somebody whose best days in life are still ahead to see a country whose best days are ahead of itself. And I think I can reach that next generation better than anybody else in this race.
Thank you. Response.
Megan.
There you have it. Now let's listen to Nikki. Keep going. Let's listen to Nikki real quick, and then we'll bring our guests on.
First of all, we weren't bankrupt when I left the UN. We're people of service. My husband is in the military, and I served our country as UN ambassador and governor. It may be bankrupt to him, but it certainly wasn't bankrupt to us. Secondly, I did serve on the board of Boeing. I did a lot of work with Boeing when I was governor. They were a great partner to me. I served for 10 months. And then when they decided after COVID that they wanted to go for a corporate bailout, I've never supported corporate bailout, so I respectfully stepped back and got off the board. I love Boeing. They build good commercial airplanes. They build airplanes for our Air Force. I am proud of them. They employ a lot of people in South Carolina. But that's why I left the Boeing board. There's nothing to what he's saying. And in terms of these donors that are supporting me, they're just jealous. They wish that they were supporting them, but I'm not going to sit there and deny.
Vivek wrote a book talking about ESG and these woke corporations and BlackRock. The idea that I want to do that in Florida, they were managing our pension, part of our pension, and then when they did the ESG, I took $2 billion away from BlackRock. We took action. This ESG, they call it environment, social governance, and again, Nikki is meeting with all these people. They want to use economic power to impose a left-wing agenda on this country. They want basically to change society without having to go through the constitutional process. We've kneecapped it in the state of Florida. The next president of the United States needs to be able to go to that office on day one and end ESG. And the fact of the matter is, we know from her history, Nikki will cave to those big donors when it counts. And that is not acceptable.
I did write that book, Ron. And the irony is, Nikki Haley was heaping praise on me.
So there you have it, Nikki Haley heaping praise, in a sense, on Vivek. It's kind of interesting. Ron tried to insert himself. This is the first time Ron decided to insert himself into the debates when he wasn't directly called upon. That a battle started out between basically Nikki because Vivek attacked her. You know, Vivek's right about this. You know what? Politicians start out broke, or they get in office, and then they somehow switch offices. They're broke. They come out on the other side very, very rich. With that introduction, let's talk about honest money, shall we? Brian Rush, RushQuittingGift.com, and Kelly Finnegan with me. Welcome to the broadcast. Brian, you first. What do you think? They start out as average paupers like you and me. And I don't mean we're totally broke. I just mean that, you know, we're not both multimillionaires. But then they end up just being super-duper wealthy. But Vivek's right on that point.
Yeah, hey, thanks for inviting me on here, Sam. I agree. You know, it seems like that's this club that's back there that they, you know, as you get back there, you go in with perhaps an agenda and what you want to accomplish. But boy, there's a lot of things that happen. If you're part of that club, it seems like you're not really helping the American people. You're really helping your own, portfolio.
Kelly, do you want to respond?
Well, it's interesting how, yeah, maybe she was on the board. She's not telling you how much money she was making. And she didn't address all of these other people that are backing her, giving her money. So it's money is so entrenched in politics now. George Washington was right that it needed to have no parties. And we're beyond that. And now we have to live with this monster that's been created.
That's right. Let's go to the 904 clip now, Lizzie. 904 into the thing. Normally I chop this up and give her clips. Now I'm giving her times because I'm having to kind of study this real time as it goes. It's so long, so convoluted. But 904, Vivek Ramaswamy writes about this, and he talks about ESG. And I want to talk about that in relation to the economy, because really this is the Honest Money Report from Brian Rust and Kelly Finnegan. RustCoinandGift.com is what we're talking about. But Vivek really nails this ESG discussion quite well. You got that, Liz? 904. All right, go ahead.
And Vivek, he wrote a book talking about ESG and these woke corporations and BlackRock. The idea that I want to do that in Florida, they were managing our pension, part of our pension. And then when they did the ESG, I took $2 billion away from BlackRock. We took action.
So that's wrong.
This ESG, they call it environment, social governance. And again, Nikki is meeting with all these people. They want to use economic power to impose a left-wing agenda on this country. They want basically to change society without having to go through the constitutional process. We've kneecapped it in the state of Florida. The next president of the United States needs to be able to go to that office on day one and end ESG. And the fact of the matter is, we know from her history, Nikki will cave to those big donors when it counts. And that is not acceptable.
Now, here it is. Keep going.
I did write that book, Ron, and the irony is Nikki Haley was heaping praise on me when I wrote that book, but now I worry. I was warning about the woke industrial complex in this country as a warning. Apparently, she read it as a how-to manual,
like
she reads George Orwell's books
as
well. And so I think that that's actually far more dangerous than this is really important for people to understand. We're marching towards fascism under Biden. Jack Smith has subpoenaed every last retweet that someone has issued from Donald Trump in the year 2020. The only person more fascist than the Biden regime now is Nikki Haley, who thinks the government should identify every one of those individuals with an ID. That is not freedom. That is fascism. And she should come nowhere near the levers of power, let alone the White House.
I've got to get to Governor Christie. I haven't forgotten
about
you.
No, but can I just say these guys...
Can you speak to...
I really appreciate
it. How you doing, sir?
Good to see you.
Can you please speak to the
All right, so go ahead and stop that now. So it was nothing but a slugfest, really. It took 10 minutes plus before they even brought Chris Christie into the debate. And Chris Christie, believe it or not, and Vivek Ramaswamy, kind of the lowest on the poll. Ron, none of these people have any real numbers to speak of. So it's kind of a clown show, four-way debate. Trump is literally... I don't know what you want to call it, 40, 50, 60, depends on the polls, ahead of every one of these clowns. They say that Nikki's now pulling ahead of Ron. They say that Ron did average in the debate, Chris Christie rocked it, Nikki Haley came across average, and Vivek lost. Your take, Brian?
Well, I like the fact of they're bringing up some points that probably need to be addressed. And obviously people are scrambling to cover their backside. And, but there again, we're not, are we addressing really, the real factors of, Trump's obviously leading, he's not coming to these debates, which I don't blame him. But, I mean, it's a circus. There again, what ring are we going to watch for a bit? And then we bounce to maybe another ring and try to get heads or tails of what the agenda is. But, all I know is right now our country's in a mess. And are we really going to – how long is it going to take to come out of this?
Kelly?
Well, I don't know who Trump's going to be running against, because I know it's not going to be Biden. But, Robert Kennedy's going to take away part of the Democratic vote. And so – Trump only needs his 40-45% backing to get in there, because Clinton did never get in with the majority vote either time. So it's very possible to happen. I mean, Trump didn't win the popular vote in 2016. So everybody thinks that's how it is, but it's not. It's the Electoral College. So that's what they're playing for, really.
All right, when we get back, Vivek Ramaswamy makes a point that I want us all to respond to. This is really critical, and it's what we covered on the broadcast yesterday and today. We'll do it in seconds on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry.
Three people were killed and one is expected to survive after a gunman opened fire on the University of Nevada Las Vegas campus yesterday. It happened around lunchtime Pacific. The suspected shooter was quickly killed by university detectives in a shootout. ABC News is reporting the deceased suspect is 67-year-old Anthony Polito. Polito had applied for a professor position at UNLV but was denied. He had previously worked as a professor in North Carolina and Georgia. A search of his home in Henderson, to the southeast of Las Vegas, was conducted last night. Sources indicate the victims who were killed were faculty or staff members. Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley says she loses sleep over President Biden's ability to handle foreign threats. On the News Nation and final GOP presidential debate this year, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis warned the United States needs to be ready to defend Taiwan against China. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie also warned China is a big threat and the United States needs to be ready for future conflicts. Vivek Ramaswamy says climate change is a hoax.
The climate change agenda is a hoax because it has nothing to do with the climate. That's what we have to see. If you thought COVID was bad, what's coming with this climate agenda is far worse.
As food and water supplies once again are becoming scarce, displaced Palestinians are blaming Hamas leadership in the Gaza Strip for their suffering. Alam, West Bank Radio, an Arabic radio station, spoke with Palestinian civilians who were seeking shelter in the southern Gaza town of Rafah. Israeli Telegram is reporting Abu Ali Express, which translates Arabic media into Hebrew, published the station's interviews in which the Palestinian residents blamed Hamas leadership, not Israel, for their plight. Thanks for listening. It's well appreciated. USA News.
The inventor and CEO of MyPillow is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code USA. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and they have a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special and enter promo code USA or call 800-951-8175. That's MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
All right, we're going to go back to this interesting soundbite, but I think it relates. Kelly Finnegan, Rust, QuinnandGift.com, Brian Rust with me. So let's play this soundbite here. What happens is you get a mix-up. It's hard to tell who's who. But what you have is you have Vivek, and then you have Nikki Haley, and then you have Ron DeSantis really backing Vivek's play here on this. But it's a slugfest, and I want you to hear it because it relates to you and I directly. Here it is.
People don't understand. We're marching towards fascism under Biden. Jack Smith has subpoenaed every last retweet that someone has issued from Donald Trump in the year 2020. The only person more fascist than the Biden regime now is Nikki Haley, who thinks the government should identify every one of those individuals with an ID. That is not freedom. That is fascism. And she should come nowhere near the levers of power, let alone the White House.
I've got to get to Governor Christie. I haven't forgotten
about you. No, but can
you,
I just say,
can you, can you speak to...
I really appreciate
how
that.
How you doing, sir?
Good. Good to see you.
Can you please speak to the requirement that you said that every anonymous internet user needs to out themselves? They're both hitting you on it.
I would be happy to, and I love all the attention, fellas. Thank you for that. You know, I'll say this. What I said was that social media companies need to show us their algorithms. I also said there are millions of bots on social media right now. They're foreign, they're Chinese, they're Iranian. I will always fight for freedom of speech for Americans. We do not need freedom of speech for Russians and Iranians and Hamas. We need social media companies to go and fight back on all of these bots that are happening. That's what I said. As a mom, do I think that social media would be more civil if we went and had people's names next to that? Yes, I do think that because I think we've got too much cyberbullying. I think we've got child pornography and all of those things. But having said that, I never said government should go and require anyone's
name.
That's
false.
She said, I want your name.
She
absolutely said it. The United States, her first day in office, she said, one of the first things I'm going to do,
I said we were going to get the millions of bots.
She wants government ID to dox every American.
That's what she said. You can roll the tape. She said, I want your name. And that was going to be one of the first things she did in office. And then she got real serious blowback, and understandably so, because it'd be a massive expansion of government. We have anonymous speech. The Federalist Papers were written with anonymous writers. Jay, Madison, and Hamilton, they went under Publius. It's something that's important, and especially given how conservatives have been attacked and they've lost jobs and they've been canceled, you know the regime would use that to weaponize that against our own people.
Okay. Okay,
it was
so,
a bad idea, and she should own up to it.
Come on, what are you doing here?
Former governor of New Jersey.
This cracks me up because Ron is so hypocritical, because he actually went and tried to push a law that would stop anonymous people from talking to the press, and went so far to say bloggers should have to register with the state if they're going to talk about, write about elected officials. It was in the, check your newspaper. It was absolutely there. I have never said government should
have to trample on your constitutional rights.
You can come back to it later.
This is more dangerous than the Democrats.
You're lying.
This section's over. Okay. Governor
Christie. They're going to go to Governor Christie now. We're 13 minutes in, and it's been nothing but a slugfest. But here's what's happening, as far as I can tell. They're all ratting each other out as saying they want more government. One's going, I want less government. No, you lied. Here's what you did. Oh, you lied. You want more government. Everybody but Vivek Ramaswamy so far has been asking for and promoting for more government at every turn. It's a slugfest between Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley right now, going, who really wants more government? And sadly, I think the record shows they both do. Kelly, then Ryan.
How many rings did they have in this? I didn't get to see it. So
there was four. There was four contestants. There was four contestants. There was Chris Christie, who, believe it or not, in the first 13 minutes hasn't said a word.
Exactly. So it was a three-ring circus until we got to Christie. And I guess he's the elephant, right? I don't know.
Yeah, and they got to Chris Christie by force because they shut down all the other candidates and said, okay, this section's over, Chris. And they let Chris go ahead and respond, which I find interesting. Start right where you left off now and let Chris Christie speak. It's 13 minutes. It's right where you were. Just go ahead and continue. And, yes, we'll skip this break.
Just that
I'm usually not somebody who gets missed, but okay, let's go.
What's happening? Okay, I got you. Listen, you endorsed Donald Trump in 2016 and 2020. You gave him an A for his first term. Since then, however, you've turned on him, calling him a liar, a loser, a con man, and someone who cannot win. You've even said that you got into this race just to stop President Trump. His approval rating with Republicans is currently at 81%. Yours is at 25%. Your best state is New Hampshire, and even there, two-thirds of GOP voters say they would be angry and disappointed if you won. Respectfully, Governor, you have not stopped Mr. Trump, and voters may wonder how you could possibly become the nominee of a party that does not appear to like you very much.
Yeah. Well, look, Megan, it's often very difficult to be the only person on the stage who's telling the truth and the only person who is taking on what needs to be taken on. I look at my watch now. We're 17 minutes into this debate, and except for your little speech in the beginning, we've had these three acting as if the race is between the four of us. The fifth guy, who doesn't have the guts to show up and stand here, he's the one who, as you just put it, is way ahead in the polls. And yet, I've got these three guys who are all seemingly to compete with, you know, Voldemort, he who shall not be named. They don't want to talk about it. The fact is that when you go and you say the truth about somebody who is a dictator, a bully, who has taken shots at everybody, whether they've given him great service or not over time, who dares to disagree with him, then I understand why these three are timid to say anything about it. Maybe it's because they have future aspirations. Maybe those future aspirations are now, or maybe they're 4 years from now. But the fact of the matter is, the truth needs to be told. And for us to go 17 minutes without discussing the guy who has all those gaudy numbers you talked about is ridiculous. I'm in this race because the truth needs to be spoken. He is unfit. This is a guy who just said this past week that he wants to use the Department of Justice to go after his enemies when he gets in there. I mean, the fact of the matter is, he is unfit to be president, and there is no bigger issue in this race, Megan, than Donald Trump, and those numbers prove it.
Governor Christie, we will be addressing that issue of Donald Trump in just a moment, but I'd like to first get to some questions on Israel. Governor DeSantis.
All right, pause. You can stop that. So there you have it. That was Christie's only response in the first 18 minutes. Now, you can think what you want about Donald, but I submit to you that Donald's far from perfect. He's right on the points. But Donald's not chicken to be at the debates. Donald's comfortable with his lead, and he says, let the clown show take care of itself. I don't find anything wrong with going to fundraise and skip the debates where the rules in the debates demand unfair requirements of you. For example, you must support the winner of the GOP convention, never mind if there's election fraud or anything else in the mix. Okay, Donald won't agree to those rules. He's not chicken to be at the debate, Chris Christie, but he's not willing to obey those rules. And why should he debate you clowns when he is literally so far ahead of you that it's not even funny? Why not just let you guys burn out like candles that are at the end of their life? Okay, look, it started out 7, 8, 9 of them debating. Donald skipped the first 3, and now it's down to 4. And Chris Christie's got such low ratings, no one even talked to him for the first 17 minutes. And then all he does is attack Donald, not with facts, but innuendo, saying, oh, you know what? Donald is a dictator. You're going to call Donald a dictator and ignore Barack Obama or ignore dictators around the world and suggest that Chris Christie would be a freedom-loving president living in his lane as a constitutionalist? Have you lost your mind? Brian, this is what we're talking about. This guy's a clown.
Yeah, it's, as you can tell, I mean, the curator basically at the front, you know, laid it out for Christie and you know, just showed how he was flip-floppy, and he didn't like it because Trump started attacking him or others. But I found it interesting that, like you said, you know, Donald's not perfect. I don't think a lot of the people enjoy him speaking at this, that, and the other, but I do find it interesting the fact of, you know, where our country was under his presidency and who was stabbing him in the back as a result, you know, that came out and, or that turned on him in his, as he was, had a learning curve going forward. A lot of people stabbed him in the back. And so now they don't like him because, you know, he's fighting back. And, yeah, it's interesting. Now he didn't even get a speak for 15 minutes. It's pretty intense. The circus is right.
Brian, what we really get, as far as I can tell, is a bunch of people that want to pretend they can fix the economy. Every one of them, not counting Vivek, has been in government for so long. They haven't done anything they promised to do on the economy. Now they turn to war. And every one of them is pro-war, big time, as far as I can tell. Ron DeSantis may be less than the rest, except for Vivek Ramaswamy. He's the only one that's not really pro-war, Brian.
Right, and I think that's, I like what Vivek is bringing up points that I think matter and trying to hold others accountable and not for war, but, you know, you tend to look at history and these elitists kind of take you to war because it's money in their pocket and disruption, and they can look as a leader to kind of maybe pull us out, but it's getting in bed with a lot of these evil countries or evil people in government and so on.
Kelly, what do you say? Look, they're all acting like they're saving the economy and just elect me and I'll save the economy. But they've all been in government for so long, they've all destroyed the economy. They've all destroyed our financial wherewithal. And they're all really war hawks, as far as I can tell, to varying degrees. Ron DeSantis a little less. But the only one that's really not is Vivek Ramaswamy. So this next whole section for the next 10 minutes was about war. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, defend Israel, go to war, we've got to. And then Vivek's like, no, I think these are pointless wars. And I think we should defend Israel, but get out of it all. Now, I'm not really an Israel defender either, but my point is, And then he was absolutely attacked. And we'll get to that in just a second. Not on facts, not on details, but Chris Christie put a swipe against Vivek Ramaswamy that I believe completely has no merit. Here it is. Listen to this.
The fourth debate that you would be voted in the first 20 minutes as the most obnoxious blowhard in America. So shut up for a little while.
I'm gonna respond to that.
I want to say something else. We're now 25 minutes into this debate, and he has insulted Nikki Haley's basic intelligence, not her positions, her basic intelligence. She doesn't know regions. She wouldn't be able to find something on a map that his three-year-old could find. Look, if you want to disagree on issues, that's fine. And Nikki and I disagree on some issues. But I'll tell you this, I've known her for 12 years, which is longer than he's even started to vote in a Republican primary. And while we disagree about some issues and we disagree about who should be president of the United States, what we don't disagree on is this is a smart, accomplished woman, and you should stop insulting
her. So I'm going to take this, several times over. So first of all, I think we just learned something from Chris Christie. We learned three things right there. First of all, Chris Christie also doesn't know what provinces in eastern Ukraine he actually wants us to fight for. Chris, your version of foreign policy experience was closing a bridge from New Jersey to New York. Yeah. So do everybody a favor, just walk yourself off that stage, enjoy a nice meal, and get the hell out of this race. When it comes to Nikki, I think if you're going to actually send your sons and daughters to go die in somebody else's
voting.
War,
while you
better,
weren't
excuse
voting.
Me, Chris, I'm speaking, and I'm not done yet.
I haven't
you had
heard
your chance,
the time when you
and we're
going
to be done. So listen up to this. If these people want to send your sons and daughters to go die in Ukraine, they've been arguing for it for a year. $200 billion of our taxpayer money sent over. Neither of them could even name for you the provinces that they actually want to protect. And this is the people who have been touting their so-called foreign policy experience. It is intellectual fraud. These people are lying to you, the same people who told you about weapons and mass destruction in Iraq to justify that invasion didn't know the first thing about it, yet they sent thousands of our sons and daughters to go die. The same people who told you the same in Afghanistan, where the Taliban is still in charge 20 years later. $7 trillion of our national debt due to these toxic neocons. You can put lipstick on a Dick Cheney, it is still a fascist neocon.
Thank
you,
Mr. Ramaswamy.
And you have to see that today.
Thank you, Mr. Ramaswamy.
It's Dick Cheney all over again in this party.
Thank you, Mr. Ramaswamy. Yeah.
All right,
15
you can
seconds.
Stop, and I want Kelly to respond to that. Think about that. Look, they act like he's clueless and a blowhard, but he's taking them on war, and factually, Vivek Ramaswamy's right.
Well, I was going to say, they don't need Trump there. They got Vivek. Vivek's doing exactly what Trump was doing. He just does it a lot faster. So, yeah, he's just tearing them down. I was in agreement with Christie there for a second, but then, you know, Vivek's saying, you know what, you guys are in the same pig pen together. Of course you're going to defend each other. So, yeah, Vivek is just, he's out-Trumping him, you know. And with Trump, it's like, hey, when a team wins their division, they get a bye week. Trump's taking his bye week. He's won his division. He's waiting for you guys to battle it out. So, yeah, there's no problems with him doing that.
Brian, do you want to respond to this?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I kind of like the, you know, by their fruits you shall, you know, you'll see their real who they really are by their fruits. And Vivek is showing that, saying, okay, well, this is what you've done. This is factual what you've done, and those fruits aren't good fruits. And yet, yet you want to say that I'm attacking your character? Well, your character is lying, and it shows by your fruit. And I like what he's bringing up these things. I think hopefully people will be able to see, yeah, well, that's true. That's what's happening, and let's not buy into that continually. Like, just keep kicking that can down the road. Till we're eventually just, you know, well, our country's pretty much bankrupt now, and just keep opening that border up and letting more people in. So, yeah.
It's hard to know how to respond to all this because, man, they're just war hawkish. They just want to run the economy into the ground. It's really, to me, honestly, shocking of what we're really seeing in terms of this. These politicians want to say Vivek hasn't a clue, but every one of them, as far as I can see, every one of them wants us just to run into war is the only way to deal with the economic doldrums, Kelly.
Well, and it's funny because Nikki Haley is Indian, and or half Indian, and Vivek's full Indian, and he's not cutting her slack over that at all. So race has nothing to do with it with him. But yeah, he's exposing what needs to be exposed that is being hidden. And with that, you know, even if he doesn't get in anywhere, you've got to. He's got people thinking now. People are going to start doing their homework. And hopefully reporters will start digging it a little deeper, too.
Where's gold sitting at, Brian?
Gold's at 2,033.
Yeah, Brian, go ahead. Where are we looking at on gold?
$2,033.
Say that one more time.
2,033.
2,033. So that's down from 4.8, really, is what it is. It's tiny, just a teeny bit down, right?
Yep.
All right. Silver?
$24.
Even? $24 even. So both of them are down slightly against the dollar, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a yo-yo. It kind of goes up and down. You know, they use the fact of, okay, well, your automatic data processing employment, basically, which has changed a little bit, means more strength in the dollar, and it's all bogus. I mean, there's no strength in the dollar. I mean, we've proven that over the years. And, your data, they just change data however they want to look at it. Unemployment's doing this, or your workforce is this. Well, how come you didn't add that? And so it's however they want it to look. You know, I mean, yeah, we've seen some strength. We're still over 2,000 in gold, and silver's hovering around that $24 range and so on. But realistically, you know, we've been at $50 when we weren't as bad in this country as today, and now we're $24, and we're 10 times worse than we were back then. So, you know, and there's factors that play into that, but still it, you know, supply demand ought to be driving this metal and not so much your big tech, your big business, financial guys, paper
well,
guys.
Well, I find that interesting that things aren't changing too much, but that spread is still there. $24 says silver. But the reality is, where are we really in terms of the spread? You know, what does it take for me to really get a silver eagle, silver dollar right now?
What is that divide?
$40.
So 84.7 to 1 is the spread from gold to silver. Your silver dollar is still $30. And so silver eagles,
silver dollar costs $30 now.
Yeah.
30 to 1. Kelly, what do you want to respond to that? Look, they're debating going to war and spending more money. Out of the first literally 20 something minutes, all they talked about was, hey, you know, you guys are the jerks. You guys are the bad guys. You don't stand a chance against the Donald. Defend yourselves. And, hey, the economy's tanking. What do we do? And, hey, let's go to war. And then Vivek's like, no, let's don't go to war. That's all they've really done. And this is supposed to be the new media with a whole different spin. Kelly?
Well, they've learned from all the sports franchise owners, you know. Hey, if you use the tax money and you build this big stadium in your city, you're going to increase, you know, the number of people that go to restaurants and hotels. It'll pay for itself. And that's a lie. They found that that's actually a lie. Never is worth that. And so they figure, hey, war's great for the economy. It'll put us back to work, and it'll do. And so they just learned from, you know, from sports franchise owners that are subsidized by the government. So let's just subsidize everything, you know. We subsidize Pfizer. Let's just do everything. And as sad, I had an aunt that thought it would be great if the government just owned all businesses, you know. And I'm like, okay, I think that's been tried before, and it didn't work out very well. But it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks, or old tricks, I guess.
Well, when she says she wants the government to own all businesses, she doesn't have a business, does she?
No, of course not. She worked for the state. And it's funny, right. One time I got offered a job at the state, at the state lab, and they said, have you ever thought about working for the state? And I said, my aunt asked me that once, and I said, well, if I go to work for the state, it's going to pay your salary. And it was just, I said that in the job interview and still was offered the job. But it made them think, you know.
Well, so my response to anybody who owns a business who believes the government should own all businesses, why don't they just turn over their business to the government? Nothing's stopping them, Brian.
Yeah, but there you go.
On all those four people on that stage, only one person has owned a business and made profit. And that's the guy we need to listen to. That's Vivek.
Think right. about that. There's only one guy on the stage that's actually owned a business and made a profit. And what they do is they mock him for no experience. They say he's young. But he highlighted the founding fathers were pretty young, many of them, when they crafted the greatest country on the face of the earth. So let's not use age as a weapon, which is what they're doing. Let's not use so-called long-term government experience as a weapon. They've ran us off the rails. Vivek has been very, very clear about that, too. And the American people can see that reality check, can't they, Kelly?
Yeah, they can. And it's kind of like, well, let's keep doing the same old thing and get a different result. That isn't what happens. You know, that's
right.
The definition of insanity. Do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. He's the only one that's got different ideas, you know. And Trump was the only other businessman that we haven't had very many people that have come from the private sector to lead, you know. And the founding fathers were really the only ones. And Vivek's brother now has even started a business. I mean, Vivek's a billionaire, and his brother's even a multimillionaire, started another business after learning from his brother. So obviously, he knows how to do stuff.
All right, Brian, what else should we be looking at right now then? If gold and silver are slightly different, what should I be looking at buying? Are we still into the nickels?
Sure. Nickels are I think nickels are right there at melt. Not paying, it used to be around the 7 cents, paying 7 cents over melt. Now they're at melt. So it's, you're buying a nickel for the amount of silver in it. So it doesn't hurt to have a few rolls of silver nickels in your pot, you know, put away. We'll be saying the same. Remember when you could buy a gallon of gas for a nickel? we're on that quarter, but maybe we could get to a nickel where you could buy a gallon of gas for a nickel.
How much is a nickel worth now? In terms
of
fake
money. We're $1.40.
$1.40 for a nickel, Kelly. Imagine that. Sounds like a good trade, huh?
That's right.
I'm into other stuff, but it's for some people it's a great cheap way to get some silver, you know. But I do stuff differently. So
what do you recommend? What are you buying? You're a gold guy, right?
I'm a platinum guy.
So Kurt's got a garage full of rhodium, and you got a garage full of platinum.
Brian's got a full of gold.
I'm just the silver guy, I guess, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Poor man's gold, they call it, and copper's poorer man's silver. But a platinum now. Rhodium's dropped down now. It's only $75 above platinum. This tells me that they're going to be using platinum again in automobiles. And if they ever go to a hydrogen car, you got to have platinum. So I'm looking at the industrial use. Platinum's the most useful of all the metals, even more than silver.
And it burns clean.
Yeah, hydrogen burns clean. It just makes water, which is the biggest greenhouse gas. They won't tell you that, but it is.
That's right.
Well, everybody's leaving California because they can't run their business there. If that doesn't tell you something, I don't know what does. Gentlemen, thank you so much. I know we're covering some of these debates, but it really matters because they're not talking about anything we're really talking about. We're talking about how to put your family in a good position when things go south economically further than they already are. They're literally talking about why they should be the best guy to run the country off the cliff. Everybody but Vivek. Anyway, I find that fascinating. Kelly, Brian, thank you so much.
Thanks, Sam.
RussCoinAndGift.com, ladies and gentlemen, you have a friend in the honest money business.